Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there with a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he might cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than do evil, to save life rather than destroy it?" But they remained silent. Looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart, Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. And the Pharisees went out immediately and took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. The Gospel of the Lord. It would be difficult to overemphasize the impact that the church's struggles with how to talk about the person of Jesus had on civil society. They say that at the height of the Arian crisis in Egypt, every baker had an opinion about whether there was a time before the sun was not. The person probably most responsible for the article of faith we now call the Nicene Creed is St. Athanasius, who was from Egypt. But his impact, the way he did it, the way he got the church around to speaking the way we speak now, did not happen mostly by debate at the Council of Nicaea. It happened because of a book he'd published several years before that had nothing directly to do with the person of Jesus. Didn't talk about the Nativity. It wasn't a homily on the Passion. It was the life of St. Anthony the Abbot, whom we celebrate today. St. Anthony is called the father of monks, though that's a little bit of a misnomer, because if you read his story, it's very clear that when he goes out to the desert, there are already monks there. But he's known as the father of monks because he's the first one that we have by name and the first one that the church commemorates under that title in all of its history. He was a layman who simply felt a great desire to live the gospel wholeheartedly and more intentionally. And as the Christians in the city grew more and more worldly, he saw the only reasonable way to do that was take up in the desert, as others had done before him. When you read the life of St. Anthony, he's like a character out of a fairy tale, or maybe even better today, a comic book. He's like a superhero, and he does battle, physical battle with demons, in much the same way that Superman might take on a supervillain. But of course, it's always couched, these battles with the demons and this battle with himself, it always happens. Well, at dinner time, when he sits down to eat, or at night when he gets ready for bed, or when he's making ready to receive a guest, doing perfectly ordinary people things, like sitting down for meals, or getting ready for bed, or inviting someone into your home. It's because, though these battles with demons were clearly very real for St. Anthony, they were bound up in his own internal struggle for purity of heart, for constant and perpetual love of Christ, the desire to love Christ above all things. And one of his favorite images, or at least as reported by St. Athanasius, one of his favorite images for this battle against our own passions was Goliath. The giant who seems too big to take on, but who in the end is felled not by the biggest sword or the broadest shield, but by a rightly shot pebble. The Lord knew how to target things well too. That's why this business of curing and healing and working on the Sabbath is so important. Because he knew that here, he had the Pharisees. There were other places in their life where they could genuinely claim piety and devotion as the source of their concern. Here, they're just being jerks and they know it. And you know what? There are times when I'm just being a jerk and I know it. And I think if you look hard enough at your own life, you probably have the same problem. So there's still a Goliath to be felled in our own lives. And it probably isn't going to be with some outsized plan for spiritual growth. Simply that well-placed pebble right between the eyes. Because St. Anthony left us not just a pattern for living the Christian life, but by that pattern, a testimony of who Jesus is, which is why we commemorate him here, where Christ becomes present. There's something earthy and tangible and sensible about this kind of life in the Spirit. And so as we celebrate the sacrament today, land on that and ask for the grace to fell all your giants.